Thank you, Edward. It's always good to be here at Wise Ball, and I appreciate their confidence and realize that it's a privilege to be invited back anywhere. So I have a little bit of envy for your pastor. I'm sure wherever he's at down there, the temperature's a lot higher than here. I looked up Hope Sound and Key West and Daytona, and all of them were over 80, so his is probably up there too. Well, thank you for having me. I have a my wife and I have two or three IRA accounts. I'm not sure how it all stacks up over with Regal Capital in Bedford. Bruce Roberts kind of directs those a little bit. And he sent out an email to all of his customers, I guess. It wasn't just to us. And it had a document attached. It said it was a quick read, but a good one. So I looked through it. It was a lot longer than what I considered quick. And but it had 10 points to successful investing or money management. Well, it was a little, that's 10 is a lot. That's overwhelming. So I looked around. I found one that was easier than that. It said 5 keys to a successful money man. Who needs 10 when you can find 5? And so I found one said 5 keys to successful money management. And said number 1, maintain a simple budget. Number 2, spend less than you earn. And number 3, avoid spending too much on college, cars, and casa. Well, the casa is a house in Spanish. Had to get 3 C's in there. Those are supposedly the 3 biggies that really mess people up. Number 4, save for the unexpected. And number 5, invest for the long haul. So, I don't know, sounded a lot like Dave Ramsey, but it wasn't from him. And sure sounds awful easy, doesn't it? And one of those that I was looking at, it showed a couple there on a boat, a big giant sailboat. You know, said 5 keys or 7 keys or 10 keys to successful money management. It showed a picture of them on a boat down in some beautiful place, probably Turks and Caicos for all I know. Anyways, the boat looked like better than $500,000. So if you just do these 5 things, you too can be down there with the pastor. And so I looked up another one because wasn't sure that those sound easy, but for some reason they're rather elusive, aren't they? So I looked up one that's a little more closer to home. It says 5 habits to get in shape quickly. Now I don't know. Spring is coming. Some of you might want to run a marathon. You know, come March or. Or April, May, and so 5 habits to get in shape quickly. And so it can't be too hard, it's only 5. So number 1 said, push yourself. Well, that sounds easy enough, doesn't it? And number 2 was focus on a full body workout. Well, so much for just walking. And number 3, do exercises that apply to all sports. Well, number 4, set athletic goals. I guess that means that you're not supposed to set a goal, you know, to just walk 10,000 steps because that's not very athletic. But number 5, stop making excuses. So as you do that, you do the other 4. Well, sounds really easy, so that's all you got to do. If you want to do a triathlon in June, this should get you going. 5 steps to get in shape quickly. Now, I looked up this whole theme here. I looked up something else, you know, the truth is, Edward, that a lot of us here in America are very jealous of the beautiful accent that people have over in Great Britain. And there might be some backcountry rednecks in southern Indiana and Kentucky that don't care, but a lot of rest of the people across the U.S. really find it unique, and they actually think that, you know, especially if they see a doctor and he has a British accent, he's automatically twice as smart. And I actually looked up recently also how you can get a British accent, and I found one that had 7 steps to speaking with a British accent. Well, that's a little, and I mean, 7's a little intimidating, and but I did. I went through the whole set, looked at all 7 of them, and another one that was 5 steps, And out of that, I only remembered three. So I think that tells you that's kind of where most people are at with this step thing, right? You can get to three. But anyways, you might find this interesting, Edward. It said that if you wanted to speak with a British accent, so one thing you were supposed to do is change your A sound. You know, I had dinner, from ha to aw. Okay, see, I had dinner. So the second thing was that if you would use the word quite, okay, use the word quite. Insert it in everywhere you can. So instead of saying, I had a nice dinner, you would say, I had a quite nice dinner. So I'm getting there. And so anywhere, the third thing I remembered was out of this was that if you can change the word been, I say, where you been? You know, you look at somebody and I thought you'd be home for supper at 5. Where have you been? So you are supposed to change been, B-E-B-E-E-N, to sound more like B-E-A-N, to like a bean, like green beans, right? Navy bean, right? So, and so then your sentence would be more like this. I've been at Applebee's and I had a quite nice dinner. So anyways, my wife and daughters have been quite amused by this. And I haven't tried it on any patients yet. But what do you think, Edward? Is it coming? It's getting there. All right. So we wouldn't even try this if we weren't fascinated with it, because we really are. And I saw this in Wabash. There was a guy from Britain that was a surgeon. And the people just loved him, and they thought he was, you know, like I said, they think you're twice as smart. But tonight, you've noticed that all three of these examples that I've given you, they're rather deceptive, aren't they? They sound awful simple. You know, like, if you want to get in shape, well, set athletic goals. That sounds awful simple. Quit making excuses. But in practice and in reality, they're really hard. And if I were to try to speak to you tonight with a complete British accent for more than 10 seconds, it would be ludicrous, right? It's really not, there's no 7 steps to speaking, you know, the British accent. It's not going to work. You go live there for 7 years, maybe. But tonight I want to give you a simple message that the Lord has impressed on me over this week. And it's going to be entitled, 3 Steps to a Successful Spiritual Life. I think probably you'll find that it is simple, but I think you'll also find with me that this very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture is deceptively simple. And I think probably the Lord he's had a reason. I've been quoting this Scripture over and over and over all week long. And I think that it must be there's 1 or 2 people here, I don't know, that need to be reminded of the same simple, straightforward message that's found here. And I want you to stand with me and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Most of you can recite this from memory, which you're welcome to do with me. We all can read this together, verses 5 and 6. I have them underlined in my Bible from a long time ago, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to be in your house. We realize that, Lord, we don't know what tomorrow may hold. We didn't know what this morning would hold. But we pray, Lord, tonight that you would manifest yourself to us through your word. Lord, there's nothing I can say that is going to really help anybody, but if you will work through your word, the word of God, Lord, maybe someone can gather good from this and will enable them to get through this week and to depend on you. We pray you'd guide us, be with the the pastor and his wife. We pray you'd give them a blessed week. We pray you'd be with those here that are going on the med team. We pray for them, part of the pastoral family as well. We just pray for them and ask your special blessing and hand of protection on them. We ask it all in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I think that most of us can read this passage and understand it. And so all I'm going to do in a rather simple expository method is hopefully maybe awaken our thoughts a little bit tonight. I'd like you to focus with me phrase by phrase. Step number one on the three steps to a successful spiritual life is number one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Our word trust for us has this feeling of rely confidently or rely with confidence on someone or something. I don't know how many of you here tonight rely on a GPS. How many of you tonight have access to a GPS when you leave here tonight? Tonight, either in your pocket, in your phone, or a GPS in your car. How many of you tonight had it if you wanted it? How many of you would have access to a GPS? So a fair number, probably the majority. And so I'm just curious, out of all you that have a GPS, how many of you are willing, wherever you go, to rely on the GPS completely, entirely, and 100% all the time? Maybe I should ask it differently. Is there anybody here who is directionally challenged and has to rely on the GPS all the time? I see two or three hands going up. I know someone like that personally. How many of you are old enough like me that you're more willing to rely on a map? But do you know that even maps can fail you because new roads are constructed, old ones are taken down, or if you live in Indiana or somewhere else too, there's a lot of construction with detours. Whatever the case is, I think that somehow the GPS illustrates to me where a lot of people are at spiritually. They say, oh yeah, I trust in the Lord. Yeah, I've got a GPS. We'll put it in the GPS, right? We'll put it in the GPS. And for all practical purposes, most of the time, we can rely on the GPS. Most of the time, we're all pretty familiar with it. If you're like me, I'm driving. I have my wife navigate. And she'll say, do you want me to put it in the GPS? I'll say, why not? But you know, I'm afraid sometimes that if we're not careful as Christians, we give lip service and we say, oh, I trust in the Lord. Trust and obey. But you know what the Lord is asking us to do tonight in this very simple passage? He says, rely on me with confidence, with all 100%, with all your heart, not like your GPS, right? I've always said someday somebody needs to come out with a GPS that's guaranteed to never get you in a bad section of a big city, right? They need to program that. Until they do, I'm not 100% on it. But with God, trust and rely with confidence with all your heart. Where do we go with the word heart? Well, you know, as a physician, I know it's that hollow muscular organ in your body that pumps blood. But that's not what the scripture is talking about. That's not what we talk about when we say, oh, honey, I love you with my whole heart. We're talking about something that is hard to find and intangible, but it's the seed of all of our affections. Somewhere down inside you and somewhere down inside me is a center of our psyche and our psychology and our emotions. And at the heart of the matter down there is that thing that's the seat of our affections. Everything we love, everything we believe, all that is wrapped up in us and who we are. That's what he says. He says, trust and rely on me with confidence, with your entire seat of your affections, with that thing down there that is where all your emotions lie. just give it all to me and trust in me with great confidence. Well, you know, it's a simple statement. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But it's kind of like some of those statements that I made on getting in shape quickly, right? It's deceptively simple. Because we're human. And sometimes it's just a little difficult when certain things happen. Whether it's relationships, whether it's job, whether it's school, whether it's weather, whatever the case might be, the disasters, whatever. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust and rely with confidence, with all your being and the seat of your affections on God. Step number two. Well, see it right there in this verse 5. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, we have this picture of someone leaning over, right? You seen that? Now, where I'm at, there's a fellow that works in my office, and he does x-rays, and he also does some of the many things, blood draw, nursing arena type things. And, sometimes the word lean to us kind of implies illness, doesn't it? You know, you look at somebody, you say, okay, can you walk by yourself? I see somebody coming out of my office sometimes. They get up and I'll say, now, you okay? Do you need me to carry that to the front? You know, I don't want them to get tripped up on their cane and their coat and the clipboard or whatever and get all, and no, I can make it. People want you to know, I can make it. Well, I know of somebody named John Doe. Have you ever met John Doe? John Doe. Well, I went in the room and John Doe was in there and I said, well, John Doe, how are you doing today? No response. And John Doe was leaning from the chair. He was leaning over onto the table. He was leaning on the... I promised Edward I'd stay close to the microphone as far as I'm going to get. He was leaning on the... I said, John Doe, John Doe. No response. So then I called. I said, John Doe. No response. You know what the next word out of my mouth was? It was like, you know, you can tell by looking at me, right? I'm not in shape for a great athletic event. So I was like, Gary. It's like, we need two people to pick up John Doe. He's leaning, and he's leaning too far. But you know what? If you and I could get a picture of that in our mind, we get a picture of that in our mind. That's what God is telling us. Don't lean. Don't put all your weight down over on all of your own understanding. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You say, but Brother Smith, does that really, what does he mean? That just must mean theology, right? That's why we come to church. We have a good pastor, Brother Ziegler, and we have people come for revival, and we've had Brother Avery for the Deeper Walk series. We've had all, and we come to church to get theology. But when it comes to outside the things of God, we pretty much have to get trained. We got to learn on our own, right? You know, what about the person that has training in some profession? You say, well, Brother Smith, that would be, you know, you got medical people going on the med team. You're a physician. And do you lean on your own understanding? Well, you know, I've told people before that you have to have a certain amount of confidence to be able to do things in your profession. That goes for everybody. And somebody walks in the door and they have a big bleeding laceration, and you have to look at that and make an instant judgment. Am I going to sew that up, or is it beyond me, and I'm going to send them to the emergency room? And you have to have some confidence that when you say, I can sew that up. Now the question then becomes, are you leaning on your own understanding? Well, there's a lot of people that do everything in life, right? There's welders and mechanics, and there's people that do, you know, whether it's professions like accounting, and they're not Christians at all. They don't lean on God at all. They don't even believe in God. But for those people that have some kind of training, they need to listen to the word and be careful, whether you're a physician, whether you're a welder, whether you're an electrician, whether you work at a factory, whatever it is, if you're a Christian, God is giving you a recipe for everything. Yes, theology. Come and listen to Brother Ziegler. But out there in everyday walk of life, lean not to your own understanding. You know, I just this past week had something happen, and it was Jane Doe. You met Jane Doe, right? John and Jane. And Jane Doe. And I was thinking about it later, and I thought, you know, I think I need to change what I recommended. And so I actually wasn't at the office at the moment, so I called the office and had one of the office ladies change that and make a different order for Jane Doe, you know, John and Jane Doe. And I pray, I ask the Lord at times, I say, Lord, give me wisdom to know what to do. And yeah, I did. I did honestly graduate from an accredited medical school in the United States. Texas Tech. I know that's far-fetched for some people. But yes, I had to do that. Yes, I had to go to residency. Yes, I had to take the boards. Yes, I've had to do that every so many years to get recertified. And I did it again in 2014. But you know what? There's a point, if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what your profession is, it doesn't matter what you do in life, you need to ask the Lord, help me, Lord. I've got training. Yes, Lord, I know I had to go take the test, but you know what, Lord? I still need your help. We do that. That's three steps to a successful spiritual life. You know, what about child rearing? Now, there's something you don't have to have a license for. How many times have you looked around in Walmart and thought, well, I ought to license people for that? Anybody thought that? Ever heard that? But you know what? If you're a Christian, you can seek God's help. Have you ever noticed that the people that sometimes have the worst children, I mean, even whether they're 3 years old or 30 years old, that sometimes they're the ones that act like they know it all. They got child rearing. They can tell you everything about child rearing. But I want to tell you something. You need God's help. Yeah. Don't just lean on your own understanding. And lean not unto thine own understanding. It's a real simple thing, isn't it? But it's a little bit sneaky. It's a little deceptively simple. Because, you know, as humans, we learn how to do something. We think we're pretty good at it. So then we, you know, well, yeah, I need to come to church. But we forget everything in our life we need to turn over to the Lord. And that leads us to step number 3. Look at this. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I think there's two ways to look at this. Number one way is to say, in all things, I acknowledge his providence, his grace, and his leadership. Now, most of you, you're here tonight because you believe like I do, and you already do that. How many of you tonight, at least 75 to 80% minimum, you may miss, you may wait, you know, you may forget, but at least the majority, if not a 99.9% of the time, you pray before you eat. How many of you tonight pray before you eat? At least well over 75% of the time. You know what? something as simple as eating. We have learned from the scripture, we've learned from our parents, we've learned at the church, and we've learned from God speaking to our heart that something as simple as eating, we acknowledge Him, right? Think about that. It's kind of significant, isn't it? We acknowledge Him. What do we say? We say, we thank you for this food. Right? We thank Him. We're acknowledging. We may have planted the garden. I've seen a garden out here on this side of the church over here. We may have planted the garden and watered it and weeded it and picked all the stuff. We may have prepared the food in the kitchen or been the men out there on the grill. But what are we still thank God, right? We acknowledge Him with something as simple as eating. Just as simple as sitting down to eat. We're obeying this when we do that. We're acknowledging that God gave us the food. And then we ask Him, you know, something along the line, could you bless it to us? Or whatever your phrase is that you use, and maybe some other words. But we are acknowledging. Now just think, if we take all the things, did you see? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In every single aspect of your life. You know, it wouldn't hurt to think about this, that, or think about that this week. Now, if every time you eat, you say, Father, our Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, whatever you say, we thank you for this food. Just think, if every single time you put on your shirt, you pulled on a blouse, you put on your socks, and you stopped and you said, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for the clothes on our back. That's interesting, isn't it? It would go along with eating. We do it when we eat. Why wouldn't we do it when we wear clothes? Now, I'm not saying you need to do that. But it would be good this week maybe to kind of think about that, wouldn't it? Tomorrow morning, you getting dressed? You could think about it. Well, Father, what's it say here? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. What about when you get in your car? And it starts. What about when you walk home tonight, or you drive home and you walk in the front door? We were just listening to an audiobook about by Joel Rosenberg, I believe, the Christian writer, about Auschwitz and the Holocaust. And you know, I tell you, that make you start thanking God for a lot of things. Imagine somebody almost willing to kill over a carrot. I was eating some carrots at work this week, and I thought, man, I'd have to be really, really, I mean, I don't mind carrots, but I mean, somebody came up and said, hey, you can give me your carrots, I'm going to slap you. I said, oh, go ahead, fine, so you have the carrots, yeah. I mean, Rocky Road ice cream, yeah, that's a different story, but I mean, carrots, I mean, and clothes, and you know, they were sleeping three people to a bunk, and they would fight to who got in the bunk, and I started to think, Lord, I've been quoting this verse, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And you get to work in the morning, and sometimes you complain, well, you know, it's just a job, you know, it pays the bills. Like the fellow that, you know, I heard recently said, I owe, so off to work I go. Well, what about if, you know, we ought to maybe once in a while say, well, Lord, I thank you for the provision you have given me through this job. I thank you, Lord, for the provisions you are giving me through my husband's work or my wife's work. And we thank you for that. Acknowledge Him. I think the second way that we can do this is also we can take this phrase, not only are we acknowledging that everything that comes to us is from God, we can also come and we can say we're going to acknowledge our need for God in every area of our life. Well, he said, well, now, I mean, really? I mean, what if you're just grocery shopping. Hey, Bob, how many of you ladies are really good with coupons? Now, my wife didn't even raise her hand, and she's like the coupon queen. She whips them off her phone. I mean, I stand in line at Hobby Lobby, and she pulls up a coupon, puts, I don't know how much we say, but I thought, how can Hobby Lobby stay open if every person there gets their phone out and gets 35% off? I mean, they'll go broke. But I mean, have you ever wondered that, does the Lord guide you when you're doing all these simple things of life? What about these decisions that we make? You know, I'm convinced that there have been some things in my life where a simple change in where I went kept me from having some tragedy. Have you ever had weird impressions? And then later you look back and you say, I wonder what would have happened if I had overridden that. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And what does it say? That's the last promise. And He will direct our paths. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but there's a lot of areas of my life that sometimes seem overly simple. It's like, would I really need God's help? But there's other areas of my life where it's real obvious I need God's help. And God's asking us to turn all of it over to Him. He's asking us to turn all of it over to Him. It doesn't hurt before we leave in the morning or every night to tell Him, Lord, I need Your help in every area of my life. Right? The complicated, the simple, the boring, the mundane. There's three steps to a successful spiritual life. Number one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not like you do your GPS. Number two, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways is number three, acknowledge Him. And it promises in Proverbs, this is the Bible, it promises you and I as Christians tonight that He will direct thy paths. I don't know if you're like me, but I have some areas right now that I want God's will. And I want Him to lead me and guide me and direct me. Now, I don't know if you're like that tonight, but I'd like you to stand. And in closing, just going to sing number 600, if the piano player or a piano player could come, number 600. my Savior, I come to Thee. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your help. We thank You for Your word. We pray You would be with these people this week. Be with the pastor and his wife, we pray. We ask it in Your name. Amen. You are dismissed.